Today I'm going to revisit Nina Olson's retirement from the Office of National Taxpayer Advocate. There has been quite a bit of impact from what she has done through the years, so I want to take a look at that and salute her once again.
Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I'm your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
Nina Olson is due to retire as National Taxpayer Advocate on July 31st of this year. Procedurally Taxing has been running a series of tributes to Nina Olson. They started, I believe, on July 8th, but I think they have been running nearly every weekday since then through the month of July. I'm going to read the tribute that I wrote, then follow up with some other reflections, and talk a bit about the plans moving forward after Nina's retirement. So to begin with, here is my piece from Procedurally Taxed. Now, looking at what I wrote, I realize the first paragraph is still clunky, even though I did some drafts editing it. My main point was that while I had connections to tax, it was a bit of a gap between the years when I was in law school and when I was working full-time in the low-income taxpayer clinic field at Kansas Legal Services, but I am going to start now with what I wrote. I was a student intern at an LITC during law school, but then there were several years in private practice where I juggled tax research with work in other areas of law during the rest of the year. When I started working full-time for the Kansas Legal Services LITC in 2016, I made a point of diving into the LITC world. I received a scholarship to the American Bar Association Tax Section Fall Meeting in Boston. As part of the scholarship, I had to attend the Pro Bono and Tax Clinic's committee meeting on Saturday morning. On a slate was an address by the National Taxpayer Advocate, Nina Olson, at 8:30, so the scholarship recipients were told not to show up late. When the address started, I was taken in by Nina's manner. Bold, outspoken, and highly intelligent. She was one to speak her mind, and she launched into a recount of that year's taxpayer forums she held across the country. During that conference's session, Nina updated us on her recent interactions and what the status was on various efforts to make improvements for taxpayers, especially low-income taxpayers. I made a point of introducing myself to Nina at that conference, and she was polite, welcoming me into the LITC world. I also made a point of introducing myself to Keith Fogg at that conference, offering to get involved in his writing projects. I wonder what became of that little suggestion. I learned Nina was a frequent participant at ABA, tax section conferences, and LITC conferences. She sometimes chided those of us in the LITC, but that is because she has high standards and holds everyone else working with taxpayers to those standards. By now, I have come in contact with the reports to Congress, the blogs, the videos, and other various communications from Nina and the Taxpayer Advocate Service. Nina has been a zealous advocate for taxpayers, winning battles in support of taxpayer rights. I am unable to recount all of Nina's accomplishments, since I do not share that history. I can say, though, that without her involvement, there would not be an LIDC program that could have taught me about tax controversies and eventually provided me this career path and the various opportunities I now have. She has inspired me to work harder for low-income taxpayers. I became part of an initiative this year that is working to bring improvements to collection due process. That initiative could impact taxpayers, the IRS, and the U.S. Tax Court to help everyone involved. I think Nina has been a direct example of how to fight for taxpayer improvements because they benefit us all. I do not want anyone to think that tributes like this mean it is the end of the road. Nina has promised that she will continue to advocate for taxpayers. She also agreed to be interviewed on my podcast in the future. I expect she will keep those promises, and I know she will say something worth hearing. Okay, so that is the full text of the tribute that was posted on Procedurally Taxing. Like I mentioned, I went through different drafts, and I debated a bit about how to start the tribute, and I felt like as I was writing at first, it was more about me and my beginnings And I tried not to do that. I wanted to keep the spotlight on her. And I do want to admit that I have had a briefer time of interactions with Nina Olson, but I did speak with her a couple times at various conferences. She has been supportive of the LITC program and all of our efforts. And so I do not know the full history of what she has accomplished, but it is my understanding that the LITC program, the National Taxpayer Advocate Office, the Taxpayer Advocate Service, would not be around without direct involvement from Nina Olson. So there are countless people working in the field who owe thanks to her, but there are countless, even more taxpayers that have benefited from the work she has done. So on behalf of myself, I salute you, Nina, and I thank you for all that you have accomplished. Also, in working on the LITC grant report this week, I was thinking about my interactions with the Taxpayer Advocate Service. Now, for one, they are extremely helpful for taxpayers, and they do quite a bit that overlaps with what low-income taxpayer clinics do. Now, one key difference is that low-income taxpayer clinics often employ attorneys who can be licensed to practice before tax court and do other legal work. But otherwise, there is quite a bit of overlap that occurs between the tax clinics and the Taxpayer Advocate Service. Some areas where I turn to the Taxpayer Advocate Service are that they can look up various items for me within the IRS computers, and we can kind of discuss taxpayer issues, and they can help me brainstorm on what can be done to help various taxpayers. And they can tell me about the CSED, the collection statute expiration date for clients, that helps me know how to approach their cases. But some key areas where I've relied on the Taxpayer Advocate Service are for identity theft cases, that if clients have been denied assistance from the identity theft department, then the Taxpayer Advocate Service will often listen to what I have to say about the identity theft. And I can think of one instance for sure where an advocate made several phone calls, talked to different businesses connected to my client, and basically helped put together a case before the identity theft department that it would have been physically impossible for my client to be working that many hours during the year at the two jobs, so one of them had to have been false. Another key area where the Taxpayer Advocate Service has assisted me are when clients are needing a refund offset bypass, and by that is the clients who would normally be due a refund, but they owe a debt to the IRS. The IRS would normally be keeping the refund, but if the client is able to show that they would have a financial hardship by the loss of that refund, then the Taxpayer Advocate Service has the potential of getting that refund back to the client. Now, for one, I have to act fast because it can move quickly from the taxpayer filing their tax return to the IRS intercepting that refund and applying it to the tax liability. The main other concern is that the client must be able to show specific financial hardship connected to the last 30 days. For example, utility shutoff notices, they might be in danger of foreclosure or being kicked out of an apartment, not receiving access to medical services, or something related to a disability. So certain financial hardship issues above and beyond, well, it would be very useful to have that refund. They have to be able to show the financial impact of utility shutoffs or other notices, reasons that their lives would be even better by receiving that tax refund. Now, that doesn't even go into the significant research that the Taxpayer Advocate Service Office does quite a bit in Washington, D.C., the various reports that Nina Olson puts out, the annual report to Congress, the follow-up reports. There are very often blog posts that she does through the Taxpayer Advocate Service website. Like I mentioned, she held the forums throughout the country to get input from the public about IRS treatment of taxpayers, different videos that you can find available. She has testified to Congress, but then also the taxpayer maps that have been put out showing the process of tax controversies and different taxpayer interactions with the IRS. The Taxpayer Advocate Service worked to put together information showing taxpayers what the differences were in the revised Form 1040 and the other changes from the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. I believe they put together a Form 1040 in Spanish, so Spanish-speaking taxpayers could learn about the various changes. Overall, there has been so much work that has been done behind the scenes to help taxpayers that Nina Olson has fought quite a bit on the behalf of taxpayers. It sounds like there have been several battles that she has faced with the IRS and different times that they will not back down. But I know that she is a zealous fighter, strong-willed in working hard for taxpayers, doing what she can to assist them. And it sounds like she is going back into private practice, trying to help taxpayers from a different angle. So I know there are various people who salute Nina Olson and will be glad that she is still continuing the fight just from a different viewpoint. Now, I wanted to turn to a update on what will happen after Nina Olson's departure. That in a press release from the IRS, they have named the current deputy taxpayer advocate, Bridget Roberts, that she is going to serve as the group's acting head after Nina Olson's departure on July 31st. IRS Commissioner Redig gave a quote that Bridget has a great background and is well positioned to lead the Taxpayer Advocate Service as efforts to select the next national taxpayer advocate continue. So Bridget Roberts started at the Taxpayer Advocate Service in 2004 as the first attorney advisor for the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic program. She served variously as a senior operations executive, deputy executive director of systemic advocacy, and most recently as deputy national taxpayer advocate. She joined the Taxpayer Advocate Service after serving as a student participant representing LITC taxpayers before the IRS. She earned her JD from Villanova University and her LLM in taxation from Georgetown University Law Center. Nina Olson said in a statement on July 23rd, "I hired Bridget straight out of law school, and hiring her is one of the best decisions I've ever made." She also said Roberts is a true advocate for taxpayers and Taxpayer Advocate Service employees over the past 15 years. "I'm confident that she will continue to lead and inspire this organization to always provide the best advocacy possible for each and every taxpayer." So at this point, that is the main news I know about the search for the next national taxpayer advocate. There has not been a statement that I know of on a timeline for when the next change will occur for the National Taxpayer Advocate's Office. I do not know how many candidates are being selected or interviewed, but there is a hope that the next person to hold the official title of National Taxpayer Advocate will continue the legacy of Nina Olson. I don't know if anyone could be quite the fighter that Nina Olson is, but certainly there is the hope that individual will fight hard for taxpayer rights and do quite a bit of similar work to what Nina Olson was accomplishing. So once again, I salute Nina Olson and hope that things continue just as well as they have been for that office and everyone that it affects. Thank you for tuning in to Tax Justice Warriors.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic Program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.